Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. So happy to be here with you today as our Ennea Summer 2019 continues. The music in the background is from our good friend, Mr. Ryan O'Neill. You may know him as Sleeping at Last, as we've done with every Enneagram show. We're almost finished, as we've done with every Ennea Summer 2019 show. The music in the background is the instrumental of the Enneagram 8 song. Make sure you get a chance to go and listen to the song and read the lyrics. It will just help you see into eights in a totally different way that I think will be really helpful and hand-holding for today's episode. Make sure you grab any and all of Ryan O'Neill's music. He's just brilliant. Today on the show, our Enneagram 8s are my friend Annie and Patrick. And so, yes, there are two Annies. And yes, it is Annie that is married to Dave Barnes. That is the she'll tell you in the show. She's the last member of their family to be on the show since all the kids were on the podcast last Christmas. And so Annie and Patrick are here today bringing their full 8-ness, but giving us a real look into the best parts of being an 8. I have been interested, as you guys have been listening to shows and giving me feedback, that a lot of people are concerned about experiences with eights, but they are really tender-hearted, lovely people that are also really strong, and we are grateful for that. So I hope today that you will get to hear a different side of the eights, and I hope that you will fall in love with them in new and beautiful ways. But first up, before we hear from Patrick and Annie, we get to talk to our friend, your Enneagram coach, Beth McCord, who will kind of give us an overview of the eights. All right, friends, let's talk about Enneagram 8s. We've got our dear friend Beth McCord with us, your Enneagram coach and yourenneagramcoach.com. Tons of resources, everything you can need, whether you're a beginner at this, whether you want to learn more after you've heard your type, or whether you're deep diving and want to become a coach or figure out you and your spouse or you and your partner. And so you got all that for us.
Got all that for you.
I love you, Beth. Okay, Beth, let's talk about the 8s. We've done it. We're trucking our way through. We've got the first 7 shows behind us.
Yep.
People are more sympathetic and loving their number friends better.
I hope so.
Tell me about the 8s.
Yeah, and this is one I really want people to listen in on because 8s can be very misunderstood.
Yes.
I have an 8 wing, so yes. I have an affinity. You know, like, oh, I feel for you guys. But they can be very misunderstood. So the core fear of the 8 is being weak, powerless, controlled, harmed, and at the mercy of injustice. They desire to protect themselves and those in their inner circle. So they have a really tight, small inner circle, and they're going to do anything for them to protect them. But also probably anyone that's innocent or at the mercy of injustice. So if they see injustice, it's like a Diet Coke that has a lid off. And if they see an injustice, it's like a Mento being put in. It's like, poof,
instantaneous. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, they're moving in, they're getting things done.
Right.
Now, the core weakness of the 8 is excess or lust for intensity, control, power. They have a zeal for life. Now, that's not all bad. And here's why. So I talk about 8s as being a big snowplow. So I grew up in the Midwest, and we have like, it could be a foot of snow. You're not going to go anywhere unless you have these massive diesel snow trucks.
Yep.
And we need them. So if there's a highway that needs to be plowed, man, that is who you call, right?
Yeah.
And you rely on them. Well, an 8, when they see something needs to be done, it's like they have blinders on and they're going.
Uh-huh.
And they have a job and they're going to do it really well. And they're leaders. So we want them to do that. But we also want them to recognize if there's someone in front of them.
That's right.
Or on the side of the road. Like, don't nick them on the side of the road and don't plow over.
Right.
And a lot of times they're not meaning to. They don't even know their intensity and the power they have.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're just being them.
They know they're strong, but they don't realize how it can be perceived sometimes.
Yeah, because actually what you'll find is when people say, oh, I'm intimidated by you, they're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, they do not.
Especially female 8s. I feel like they get the worst rap of anybody on the Enneagram.
Yeah, but, oh, their hearts are amazing.
And when they're on your team, they're unstoppable.
I have 8s on my team, and I'm like, you go.
Yes, that's right.
This is your role. I'm not touching it.
Yeah.
I know you've got me.
That's right.
And they love that. And I know that they've got my back. So really what we want them to be is that snowplow, but we want them to be able to see enough ahead of them to see if there's anyone there. So having that empathy, that understanding, and saying, hey, I see you. Mm-hmm. I see your weakness, or I see how I could maybe be too powerful or intimidating. Mm-hmm. Why don't you get behind me and I'll plow this path for you?
Mm.
So think of Martin Luther King Jr. We assume, because we don't know, he never told us, we assume he was a type 8 and a healthy type 8 because there was a lot of people in the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
But he took all the brunt on himself.
Right.
And that's just such a beautiful gift of an 8. So it could be a female 8 or a male 8 that does that. And they are actually some of the most tender on the Enneagram, but they don't show it because they've been betrayed and blindsided, where they've put up kind of like this external shield. And it's really hard for them to be vulnerable because, are you going to blindside me? You know, can I trust you? Mm-hmm. And so think about their heart as being like having a third degree burn. Like if your arm is burnt, you're going to do everything you can to protect it. You're not just going to have it out there. And so that's what I really want people to understand about eights, is they're actually very tenderhearted, very thoughtful.
You just got to put time in with them.
You just got to put time in with them. So,
what does God say to them?
So their core longing is, you will not be betrayed. And Christ was the most betrayed.
Right.
He knows exactly what it feels like. And when he says he's not going to betray or forsake you, you can absolutely lean on him.
Yeah.
And what a freedom for someone who can't see it anywhere around them. Right. Like even with their most beloveds, they still, you know, I don't know, are you strong enough for me? But Christ is.
Okay. What is their gift to us besides like boss? They just like take it and go.
Well, and that is like, if you have an eight that is really healthy, you can trust them and place that trust in them and go. If there's something you're unsure of or you need to talk about, just be direct with them. They want you to be honest and blunt. And as a type nine saying that, that can be like tricky for me. But now that I know it, I'm like, no, I can say that. I can say what needs to be said, and they honor it. It's when I'm kind of, you know, going around the bush that they're like, are you blindsiding me? Are you manipulating me? So just be direct with them. But the gift that they give is, oh, they know exactly what needs to happen and who's the best person to do it. And if you just give them that charge and let them run with it, it's amazing. And their big-hearted generosity.
And they do not give up if they get something in their hearts. I just had breakfast today with an eight who's been wanting to do this thing. And she just keeps texting me, hey, I still want it. I still want it. I'm like, I got you, girl. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. So what should we listen for in this conversation with these two eights?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You're going to hear probably a lot of directness, authenticity. They're the most authentic on the Enneagram. So you're going to hear just a lot of this is who they are, very blunt, straightforward. And you're going to probably feel the power and the energy in the conversation, especially with you having an eight wing. But I also hear depth. I think you're going to find a lot of depth coming out and a lot of sorrow. And it, whether it comes out with tears or with energy, they're going to have a lot of power and emotions behind what they're saying. But it's going to be really, really beautiful.
Okay, let's listen to our conversation now with our Enneagram 8s, Patrick and another Annie. Okay, wait, Patrick, back up and say, you have not listened to any of the Summer 2019
shows. I haven't listened to any of them.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to come in cold. I wanted to come in, I know that what we're about to do here will be
epic.
who needs to hear what others have done?
Everything you're saying is 100%. I know. But Annie, you have listened to some of them.
Yes, I've listened.
Yeah, because you wanted to be prepped to do it right.
Well, and that, and I've been interested in it.
Yeah. It's been really fun. It's been one of the more fun things we've gotten to do around here lately, but I'm enjoying it. But eights, let me tell you the first thing that happened when we started talking about this in response to eights. Everyone is scared of you.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, a lot of people are waiting on the eight show because they say things to me like, I want to like the eights. So I want to hear the eight show. Does that feel like a true experience in your life? Because I'm a big eight fan. Eights have never, because I wing so hard eight that I'm like, I get y'all.
Yeah, no, do you want to?
Well, I feel like I want to like the eights too, and I am an eight. So I'm with you.
So good luck, everybody.
I mean, you know, so the way that it usually works is that female eights have it the worst.
Of like, all the numbers.
Of all the numbers.
Yeah. Do you think that's true, Annie?
As far as being misunderstood.
Yeah. I feel that.
And so because a male eight, like a lot of people will think, oh, well, he's an aggressive male. He's probably, now that I know this tool, oh, he's an eight because he's so aggressive or like a bull in a china shop kind of thing. So what I say is that for either one of those camps, male or female, if you're experiencing like something that is very hostile or whatever you think of when you think of the eights in your life, nine times out of ten, I'll say, and it's because they're in average space of an eight. You can come in contact with a healthy eight and it'd be great.
Yeah.
And they're still going to do what an 8's going to do, what a type 8 would potentially do. But I think there is something very beautiful. And that's what all the types, when they're in healthy space, all the types can be wonderful on a team, wonderful in the family, wonderful in friendships. So
tell me what got y'all, Annie started, tell me what got you into Enneagram. And then Patrick, I want you to tell me too, what made you even, and how you figured out you're an 8.
Okay, so like I was thinking about this before, what year it was, but it was early. It was probably 8 years ago. Dave got into the Enneagram because a couple of his friends like were really into it. And back then, nobody had heard of the Enneagram really. So he's taking the test and figured out his number, and he's like, Annie, you gotta take this test. And we were in Asheville, North Carolina, in a house staying with a bunch of people. And I'm like sitting on the couch, and I'll never forget taking this test. And like immediately I take the whole test and get like my highest numbers. Mm-hmm. And then I start reading about all the highest numbers I got. And immediately I was like, ugh, I'm an 8. Like, and it was the negative things about an 8 that like solidified, this is me.
Yeah, when you saw the like pain points and the unhealthy decisions.
All of it. Yeah. All the like how to get along with me, be direct, be honest, don't flatter me, like all of those things. And then what do I look like? What are my like vices? All of that stuff. I was like, ugh, this is so terrible. But
still chose to make Enneagram part of your life to some degree.
Yeah, because it turned into being like such a useful tool in our marriage, like specifically because Dave, my husband, is.
That he's a very good friend of the pod.
He's a good friend.
He's been on a lot. Soccer, music, all the things.
Santa.
He was involved in an episode with Santa, possibly.
Maybe, yeah. In fact, I actually was thinking about that. I'm the last of my immediate family to be on.
That's exactly right. Because all the kids were on, too, at Christmas. That's exactly right.
Welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, now we've done the full barn circle.
That's
exactly
amazing.
Right.
That's amazing.
That's really funny.
But I think it was really helpful for Dave in our marriage to know that he always says, like, I have to remind myself it's what you say, not how you say it. Like that a lot of times my directness and my like straight to the pointness can come across as like, ouch, you know. And Dave is, he receives things he's a very sensitive, you know, person. And so I think it really helped our marriage a lot because he was not reading me well. And so it turned into like a really helpful tool for us to understand each other. And that was before we had kids even, you know. I saw a lot of really significant benefits from learning about it. And anytime you like learn about yourself, whether it's good or bad, it's helpful. It can be a good tool. So
right.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, Patrick, how'd you figure it out?
We were our staff at the church I work at.
Yeah, so you're a pastor on staff
at a church.
I'm a pastor at a church.
Church here in town. And we did it, it's been at least 2013, 2014.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we've been friends since you were in college, but you've been on church staff for 7 years?
Seven plus. Yeah. So it was about that time, a few years ago now, that we learned about it. We brought in Suzanne Stabile.
Yeah.
And she came.
So did we.
And yeah. And
she
taught us this tool. And I walked into the retreat very skeptical. Because I was like, I've done the Myers-Briggs. I've done all of these personality. I don't want to be involved in another one.
Right.
Why? Like, why do we have to do this? And she starts. So when she goes through teaching the different types, she starts with 8s.
She starts with 8. I was supposed to start with 8.
Yeah.
I've learned.
She starts with 8s. And when she was in, I was like, what?
You know why she starts with 8s, too? Because she says 8s won't stay if you don't talk about them first, and 7s won't stay if you do.
Right.
So you talk about 8s first so they'll listen to everybody else.
Yeah.
You talk about 7s last so that they'll sit through everybody else.
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
It's like when someone goes, as they say, go through your laundry, go through your mail. And I was like, this woman is, she's she's got some magic up her
sleeves. Yeah.
What is this thing?
Yeah.
And so I was so, it just kind of hit me, and I knew right away that I was this type. And even as I listened to the other ones being taught to me, I was like, yeah, it's definitely, mm-hmm. that is definitely the type that is within me. And so I find it to be very useful, very helpful. It is not the end all be all thing for me. It's just a tool. For me, it's just a tool. It's a wonderful tool. Mm-hmm. It teaches me a lot about me, but also about others. And that's what it's. So I have grace with myself, and I have grace with my friends and family and coworkers. That is why I love it. So you will never see me wear an 8 shirt or an 8 coffee mug.
Oh my gosh, if both of y'all would come in with 8 shirts.
Literally, that is the opposite of how you're supposed to use the tool.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry to everybody who likes to wear, oh, look at me.
I do have an Enneagram 7 mug.
That's fine.
But it was
fine.
A gift. Someone gave
that's
it to me.
A gift, so yeah. That's acceptable.
Thank you.
But I'm not going to get a tattoo that's like, I'm bossy. Like, I'm not. I'm not
are
doing
you Annie?
That.
Are you going to get a tattoo that says I'm bossy?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. But I love it.
My life it's is been... a tattoo that I'm bossy. Everybody knows, right? Like, my 8
right,
wing is strong.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right. So that's kind of how
I have a question for you, Patrick. I would love to know, is it different for you as a black man, as an 8? Then is your experience different? Is there different things going on?
Sure. I mean, black males, you know, angry black man, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of a stereotype. That's something that exists in our culture. And so if that already exists, angry black man, and then you're an 8 on top of that,
mm-hmm. makes you get it misread all the time.
Misread all the time.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so that makes it a really interesting life to live.
Yeah, it makes it hard to talk about justice maybe because people think you're mad when you're an 8.
Because people think we're always mad. Mm. Most 8s, I'll speak for myself, you will know when we're really mad.
Yes.
It will be very clear.
Yeah.
But most of the time, we're not. We just mm-hmm. it just comes out of our mouths that
it's
way.
It's just direct.
It's just direct. Yeah. It's very direct. And some 8s who have, I would say, who are in health have learned, like, they don't want to hear that, so I'm not going to share it with you because you're not gonna be able to hear it the way that I want you to receive it, and I think that's over time you mm-hmm. learn that. And mm-hmm. honestly, being a pastor, people are like, how does an 8 be a pastor? What in the world?
Yeah.
It's like, I think that if I wasn't, who knows what kind of a human I would be because I'm in this position where being a person of grace and love and peace is kind of like. Kind of your jam.
Yeah.
And so my grace, my grace, peace, and love is just very direct.
Yeah. Annie, do you feel yourself, I think in friendship with you, you edit sometimes because you think people can't receive it the way it would come out of you.
You know, it's interesting because I think the older I've gotten, I don't know if it's like just learning that it's not always received well or if it's like becoming wiser and like... Mm. Older, but I do think that the part of me that wants to speak truth to people has been like dampened a lot because I think early on in my life and throughout my life I've had a lot of people not receive it well,
right?
And so now I think I'm really protective over how and when and even if my truth will come out.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. And like I said, like we're Type 8 people are often misunderstood.
Yeah.
And we are so justice oriented and like protecting of, especially the people that we trust.
Yeah.
Which the list is small.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know that of both of y'all. Yeah, you both have tight groups. Yeah, because I think the misunderstanding a lot of times about the aggressiveness of 8s is that there isn't love behind it. And more often than not, what I've seen, particularly Annie in our friendship, because it's just really up close, is that if people wait a blink, they'll experience there's love right behind the things you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that always true? I mean, and well, it's not always true, but does that feel, am I reading 8s correctly in that?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's always love.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes it's like if I'm really honest, I think sometimes it is kind of just like, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. You know, I just need to say the thing because I need to move on.
Well,
yeah.
And that's the thing too, is that I don't know if you have this happen to you, but people will say, remember when you said this thing to me that was very direct and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And I'm like, no.
Nope.
Not at all. They literally replay the conversation. I'm like, yeah. Don't remember.
Yep.
It's like, really? I was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, some of those direct and kind of like moments, for me at least, I have no, and then people are like, I was so hurt by that. It's like, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt. I forgot about all of that.
Right. Right. Because you were just purely doing life and doing the next right thing for you.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I don't think that's ever happened to me. Cause I'm like, I feel like I'm very socially aware to the point that like, I'll keep my mouth shut. Like I like air on the other side.
Mm.
If I want to say something, sometimes I'm like, just walk away or don't say anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And your roles in your life probably play into this too, because you're a mom and a wife, a pharmacist by trade, but you currently aren't doing pharmacy, right?
Right.
I'm like, do you go to work any of those days? I don't know. But Patrick, you're a pastor.
Yeah.
Unmarried.
Yeah.
Are you in a relationship?
I was.
Okay. Because listen, let me tell you what's happening to the single people on this show. Getting hit up by people listening. So I wanted to determine early if the ladies could come a knocking. Yeah. But so you were. So you're currently.
I'm currently single. Yeah. That's right.
And so I wonder if some of this plays into your communication with people. Because Annie is living with 3-4 other people all the time. And you currently are not. Yeah. But you're a pastor.
Right. And I definitely would say that's true. I mean, I think that when you... Especially if you aren't living with anyone, like if you are living alone, you can really create some bad practices.
Man, no matter your number,
you can create some bad practices and bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That having a family, having a household of people, it forces you to like exist and not be just like your average self whenever you want to be all the time.
So how do you beat that? How do you keep from the bad behaviors?
Well, I mean, I have a housemate currently. So I have someone who is living in the
space. You have to share space with.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but outside of that, that's where spiritual practices, so one of the best gifts I gave myself as a human and as a pastor and as a leader is I created something that is very outside of what I would normally do, which is a silent retreat. Like I do at least once or twice a year, I co-lead these silent retreats. And for some eights, it's all about stillness. So just being like stopping and just being still and sitting in that silence, which even as someone who is more of an extroverted person, that people think, oh, how do you even do that? But what people don't understand is that when you finally enter into a silent retreat or contemplative space, as an extroverted person and as an eight who has all this energy, you go deep really quick.
Mm.
It hits you
inside
quickly.
Yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're not always inside yourself.
Right.
You're usually just reacting, moving, going. But when you stop and slow down, like, oh, okay, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this. And the other thing, too, that helps in is I go to title boxing.
Ah, there you go. That'll do it.
Boxing,
the one in Green Hills?
Yeah,
that's
the main one.
That's a good one.
Boxing for any of the like gut numbers, aggressive kind of numbers types is awesome.
Gets it out.
Because it gets it out.
Yeah.
So when I hit that bag, and some people are like, who are you mad at? Like, no one. It's just getting out the energy that is like, sometimes you are. Sometimes you're mad at a situation or an injustice happening. But instead of like me throwing out words, venom on people, it's hitting this heavy bag.
Mm-hmm. Annie, your husband is a 7.
Yeah.
And then you have 3 kids. Mm-hmm. How has that refined you? Like he's talking about the spiritual disciplines and the housemaid and boxing. Has living with a 7, I mean, a lot of your close friends are 7, so sorry about your life.
That is true, yeah.
How has that refined you, you think?
I mean, I think it's just like God's grace to me. The people that he's put in my life that really love me well and intentionally and like see past the harshness and the directness and you know, I just think I really just think it has been about people that are willing to step in mm-hmm. and live life with me and also like help me.
Yeah.
You know?
Will you tell the story? This is one of my favorite Annie Barnes stories. Will you tell the story of when you were in college and left your train ticket in America and you went to Europe? This is like epitome of college eight.
Oh, really?
I can't wait.
Yeah. You tell me if I'm wrong, Patrick, but this feels like such an eight story to me.
So when I was
after we're past the statute of limitations, you aren't going to go to jail.
Yeah.
For this.
After my junior year of college, I went with some girls over to Europe and we did the whole backpacking thing. And I accidentally left my Eurail pass that I had bought with my own money in Atlanta before I left. And so for 4 weeks, we backpacked through Europe, and I did it all without a Eurail pass. And what we had done—
This is amazing.
What we did was we came up with these—and thankfully my friends were on board, because if any of them had been a one, I don't think it would have worked.
But, oh, I love them, but you're right.
Yeah. They're going to follow the rules.
Yeah. But we just came up with, like, different ways of, like, different systems. Like, one time I would pretend like I was asleep when the conductor passed through, and they would never, like, try to wake me up. Or a few times I would, like, hide in the bathroom, and then we'd trade Eurail. Because they would never, like, look at your Eurail pass with your ID.
Right.
They would just look to make sure you had one. And so... Yeah, so
the
for
whole
four
trip
weeks.
Without a ticket, but not because she didn't have the money, and not because she didn't believe in the system. She already spent
the money.
Exactly.
I didn't have the money to do it again. I didn't have the money to pay
for it
again.
You'd already spent the money.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And so justice says, I've already bought this ticket.
Yeah.
I will ride on these trains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that story so much.
I would have done the same thing.
Really?
Yes.
Yes, because you're like, I've already bought
this. That sounds normal. I'm like, yeah.
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 Sure.
And it was like a significant commitment to do that.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
For all of us.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. For every girl involved.
Yeah, for all of us.
They all had to do it. Okay, so when an eight is really healthy, y'all go toward a two.
Uh-huh.
And you get really helper and thoughtful of others. And I've seen that in both y'all. Can you tell me times when you've experienced the two-ness rise up in you and go like, oh, I can feel that this is me being a healthy version of myself?
I think for me, a lot of a two resonates.
Yeah.
And especially the like inherent intuitiveness about people's needs.
Right.
I feel like I do have like a real intuitiveness about friends of mine or people that I maybe don't even know that might need something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like a chore to meet the need.
No.
It's like a gift.
Yeah, it's a gift. And there are moments... What's beautiful about a healthy, like an eight going to that two in health is, yes, it's that intuitive nature. But then think about when you have a positive, healthy eight giving you encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
It is all the strength and power that an eight has. And it's very direct. And you're like, I can do whatever. I've just talked to this. I can do it.
Yeah.
And I think when we're in that place of health, and when we deliver that encouragement, when we deliver that comfort, it's all of our boldness, it's all of that energy, it's all of that, but it's in this most helpful, positive way. And I think that those that are very close to type eights, like they feel that often, and they love that they get to experience that.
Yeah, how do we as non-eights help you go toward two, help you be your best self? How even in response to your moments of giving or your moments of sharing or your moments of encouraging, how do the rest of us help you stay healthy like that? Is there a way?
I don't know. I don't know, because in part, I would say not all type eights, but a lot, we don't want you to say all of that.
Yeah, right.
We don't want it. We don't want the congratulations, good job, this is awesome. We just receive it. And
so what do you want?
Oh, we don't need your help.
We don't need your help.
Oh, that's what you want to say. We don't need your help.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Yeah, how do we say this? And truth be told, you're charting into trying to get us to be vulnerable, which, you know.
Not me right now. Is that what you're saying?
any, well, the fact that you have eight, we just, we're.
I'm not trying to push nothing.
You're not trying to push anything, but, you know, when we, like, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to put into words because typically we don't need the
you
help.
Don't need help.
Well, I think for as a weird. Two, going towards that too, I think when I listened to the two podcasts, mm-hmm. like I think one thing that made me thankful for in my two-ness is that I don't have that sense of value. I don't need to, I don't, right. I actually don't need to be even told thank you.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
I'm happy to like give or do or, you know, yeah. go overboard and like, you know, Dave a lot of times will be like, Annie, you did all this stuff and like, you're going to get nothing for it. And I'm like, I know.
You just helped at a friend's wedding and did so much. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Like I don't find value. I don't need to be identified with that stuff or find value. I don't do it for like, there's no undercurrent of like, I'm doing this because I need something.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You're just doing it. Yeah. Yeah. So when we just say thank you, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Super.
You're welcome. Okay, moving on. Let's get on to the next thing. Let's get on to the next thing.
Right. Okay, so tell me what eights are afraid of. Because you're not waiting on people to tell you what you need.
I'm afraid. I mean, there's a lot of things. I think the main thing for me is I'm afraid to be controlled. I'm afraid to lose control and someone else take it.
Yeah, Ian Cron says, I don't have to be in control, but I don't want you to control me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're afraid of being controlled in a way that you did not agree to.
The moments in my life where I've felt like I didn't have a choice or that someone was making a choice for me mm-hmm. are the times that I, like, get the most uncomfortable and the most, like, angry and like.
And it happens for me. I don't know if it happens to you. It happens in my gut. Like, I know.
Like, no.
I know something. My control is in danger, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And
because 891 is gut triad, mm-hmm. okay.
And so for sometimes it's a body, it's kind of a body ache or a body tension where it's
like so interesting.
Where it's like, oh, it's the same thing happens when an injustice is happening not to us but to others. It's like this is not. I feel it. This is not good.
Mm-hmm.
You can come over someone. I don't know. I don't like this. This something's not right. Okay. I don't know what it is yet, but I figure it out, but it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the fear of not having control is, it's one of the things that when I heard it, I was like, yes, absolutely.
That means that's
100%.
Me. Yeah.
100%.
And so people in relationship with eights, we need to be careful not, as best we can, not to make decisions for eights, but to invite eights into making a decision together.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's...
No.
Yeah, I think
that's good. Yeah.
Because it feels like if I make a decision for you, you feel controlled.
Not in like little things. Not if you were like, hey, we're going to this dinner.
Restaurant. Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's the big,
that's
it's
good.
The
that's
big
good
things.
For me to know. Yeah. So it's not like, Annie, here's three options. You pick because you're an
no,
eight.
No. No, it's not like that. It's like the big stuff. Like recently I learned, I like wasn't fully aware of the school system for my daughter and like was kind of told that she wasn't going to be going to kindergarten next year because they had like set it up where she wasn't. And and like it literally felt like someone had just taken away my ability to make a choice for my own child.
Mm.
And that was like not good. Right. Like for the next like 2 weeks, I was like not happy about it. Mm. And then we came around and started talking about it and like really – you know, it all worked out. But at the beginning of me feeling like someone had made a choice for me that they didn't let me into, and it was with my own child, like that was not okay with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so bigger decision.
Yes,
yeah. Big decision.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
the everyday, where
no,
are we getting coffee?
No.
What seats are we on the airplane? Not that kind of stuff.
No.
The big, like, life things don't control that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
So for partners of eights, it's a bigger deal to think through how y'all make decisions mm-hmm. than friends of eights.
Yeah, and I don't know that Dave ever makes me feel that way, really.
Right. Yeah, because we're like,
yeah,
okay.
And we're like on the same team,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like,
Patrick, do you ever feel that with a boss? Because you have a pastor who's a head.
Yeah.
You're not the senior pastor.
I'm not a senior pastor. Yeah, no. I think part of it, too, is it's fine if a decision is made, especially if it feels like that's a that's a just and good and right decision, and I can fall because I know that I'm working on a team. I know that I'm working for someone.
Yeah.
But if for some reason it feels like you're being disingenuous or not completely truthful or whatever it looks like, then that's where the problem comes. Like micromanaging is an issue, not just here's the policy.
Right.
Policies are fine. You know, rules are fine. But it's just like if you're trying to micromanage me, I even say
you're
when
like,
I
can read that manual.
Yeah. I even say even for most of the jobs that I've had, like one of the things like don't micromanage me because I will leave.
Yeah.
Because I can go and work. I'll work at a coffee shop. Picking up. I'll do anything.
Right.
Like I'm not going to be.
Space.
You give me. Yeah. I'm not going to be. I'm not the one. And if you think that like, I'll catch you in a pickle. It's like, no, you won't. Yeah. I don't think you understand. Like I will literally walk out of this space right now and won't think any different about it. Like,
yeah.
But, you know.
I'm resonating so much with most of what you are saying because of my eight wing that I'm like, I get that. I get that. I'll walk out of here and not look back for you.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm like, well, that may not have been the best decision, but I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm satisfied with it because I have I'm in control of what comes next.
Mm-hmm. And but like when someone makes your schedule at work, Annie, as a pharmacist, that's not the control that bugged you.
No, because I knew that was what I signed
Part
up
of the
for.
Deal.
Yeah, it's what I signed up for.
You
exactly.
know what you're doing on your Sundays.
Yeah.
So
I know exactly.
That's not what feels controlling. Okay.
But if you don't follow through with what you said, or you tell me something that you don't follow through with, that is like not cool.
Okay.
When it comes to the work thing. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay. Follow through is a big
follow
deal.
Follow through.
Yeah. I know that in real life friendship with both of y'all that how the words play out speak way more to you than the words.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation with Patrick and Annie for just a second to tell you about our friends at Rothy's. Y'all, Rothy's shoes are stylish, sustainable, and comfortable enough for everyday wear anywhere. Y'all probably heard me talk about them before. They make really beautiful shoes for women and girls, but they make them out of plastic water bottles. They're insanely comfortable and machine washable. I have a pink pair, the pointy ones that are really bright pink, and I love them so much. They really are incredibly comfortable. They are the everyday flats for life on the go. They're so versatile and really cute, and they come in a wide range of colors and patterns. They're available in 4 different silhouettes, plus they're constantly launching new styles, so you're guaranteed to find a pair or like 11 that you love like I have. They have like playful designs that adds a pop of color to every outfit while still looking polished and professional. And since they're seamlessly crafted from recycled water bottles, they're incredibly comfortable as soon as you slip them on so that you don't have to do that like break-in period that it just like will ruin your life. I know. There's always free shipping and free returns or exchanges with no risk, no worries, and no reason not to try, you guys. It will blow your mind that they're made from recycled plastic water bottles. In fact, Rothy's has diverted over 25 million water bottles from landfills, y'all. That is insane. And here's a great thing that my sister told me the day that I got my Rothy's, she already had a pair, is how much she loves that they're machine washable. And I love that too, that you can just toss them in there and they will get all clean. It's like you have a brand new pair of shoes. Check out all their amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/soundsfun. That's rothys.com/soundsfun to get your new favorite flats. And now back to the show. Okay, tell me. So my next question.
Tell me
what you're most proud of. What do you love about being an eight?
You know, it's funny because I have like had so much shame around being an eight.
Really?
Like ever since forever. I like hate telling people I'm an eight.
Yeah.
If you want to give me a compliment and I tell you I'm an eight, like I'm always like complimented when people are like, "What? You're an eight?"
Which, you know, a lot of the Enneagram Master teachers say that's the point.
Yeah.
The point is that people are surprised that you're that type. Mm-hmm. That means that you're doing the work. That means that you're working in health. If someone's like, you're an eight, it's like, yeah. It's like, I never would have guessed that.
Ah.
Great.
Okay. That means you're being healthy.
Yeah, it means you're being healthy.
I mean, the same would be true about a seven.
You're a seven?
Yeah, yeah. You're a seven. You get things done.
You get things done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I totally get that.
But I have thought a lot about, like, what I'm proud of as an eight. And it hasn't been easy to do that because I think I have associated so many negative things with being an eight. I think I'm proud of a lot of things about being an eight. One thing I'm proud of is and thankful for is that I'm like very self-confident and I don't struggle with, you know, not doing something because I'm afraid of it or like not saying no because I'm afraid I might hurt someone's feelings. Like I'm like confident in my choices and I don't feel like I make choices based on other people's things.
Yeah.
Like I can make them and like walk away from it and be fine. Yeah. And that's like kind of a gift, I think. So that's one thing. I think Dave and I were talking about last night and he was like, Annie, you have the biggest heart of any number. Yeah. Like an eight has a huge heart and most people don't really get to see that, sadly, but if you can get past the like, the armor that we have on, right. Like our hearts are really
very big
and really tender, you know? And so that's a gift.
Yeah. That is probably the most, we'll talk about that later, but our tender heartness is true. Yeah. Some people don't believe it to be true, but I'm telling you, it's true.
Yeah.
And I'm most proud of, I love that I'm so justice leaning. Like I want to stand up for the people who are being overlooked, you know. Yeah.
And so eights are more inclined to stay and stand up versus leave?
Some would, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're passionate about it.
If it gets you, because when you get the passion, and that's the thing too, is like I love that I'm so passionate about things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that some people, like there's like, oh, well, you know, it's fine, and that's just the way it is. It's like, no. Yeah. To me, it's like, no. That the way that it is not good, is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to be about the change, and I'm not going to leave. Not until I feel like I've done all that I could do.
Yeah, I've seen that justice in you too, Annie, I think, yeah.
I think too that like people that are friends with eights, you could say this, might appreciate how we're truth tellers.
Yes.
And we're like, you know, we're pretty intuitive. I mean, you know, Dave and I laugh all the time because I always think I'm right because I really am usually always right.
That's like, true.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean.
I'm there. I know.
That's why I think I'm right.
Because the majority of the time.
Yes.
It pans out.
The vast majority of the time.
We rarely are type eights wrong.
But honestly, what the gift that y'all bring so much is that combination of a tender heart, truth telling, and often being correct in what you're leading us toward. But once people really are close to you, your tender heart shows the reason behind why you're telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, that you said something earlier, which is true. And I think that the older that you get, and especially if you come across this tool, as a type 8, you just grow and you tend to like figure it out. Like the young versions of Patrick as not knowing that he was a type 8, like there were some dicey moments.
Yeah.
And moments that, you know, bridges were burned, you know, and things happened.
Yeah.
But now like the older that I get, it's like, okay, like, and I think too, as you edge closer and closer to that second half of life. So I have a seven wing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's why some people are like, oh, you're so happy and excited. So yeah, thank goodness for the seven wing. Because if I was just pure eight, it may not be the best thing ever, right? And I think it's for me, as I get older and I get more and I start moving and growing that nine wing.
Right, because your wings are on either side of your main number.
Right.
And a bird flies better with both wings.
Yeah. You start to fly a little bit better. It's like, okay, I don't have to do it all. I don't have to say it all.
Mm.
But I still will say and I still will do.
Yeah.
But you become hopefully wiser with every year that you that you grow.
So. Tell me what you need God to say to you on a daily basis. What in your spiritual life, how does God connect to you as an eight?
I think this has been a journey for me in a lot of ways, but one thing that I feel like God always has to tell me, or that I always have to tell myself too, mm-hmm. is that I am not in control. Mm. I have this vision of God, of like me and God being on two ends of like one of those huge tug of war ropes, where he's like on one end, just like barely touching it with his toe. And I'm on the other end, like pulling with all my might all the time, like constant. And sometimes he lets me get a tiny bit closer to the middle, but like, then I, you know, it's like, I just feel like I'm always trying to like take control. And I have to remind myself, like, calm down. Mm-hmm. You're not in control. You know, I think that's been a good like thing for me to say about that. And I'll also say that my name, the name Anne, means full of grace.
Yeah.
And you know this, but my like prayer since I've been in high school is that God will make me what my name means, because think that that's like something I recognize in my life, that I need to be more full of grace. Like I need that. And I really believe that like when I'm 80, that someone's going to look at me and say like, she's gracious. Like right now, I don't know that anybody would like necessarily call me that, but I believe that that's my like life sort of direction, that God is like using my name and what my name means, what my identity is, to become that.
Yeah, that's good.
Beautiful. And yes, people would call you gracious. You are very gracious.
Yeah.
Patrick, what do you need from the Lord?
It's okay to be vulnerable. Mm. It's okay to be vulnerable. And that can be really challenging, because it's not the natural mode of operating, is to be vulnerable. Some people, like, that's just who they are. So it's okay to go into that space, to move in that, in that direction, because and it is all wrapped up in, it's all wrapped up in control, and it's all wrapped up in trusting, right? Because as many folks who have read anything about the Enneagram knows, is that eights, what they say, five people, maybe less, maybe more, depending on the person.
What do you mean?
Five people that you trust.
Oh, five people that you trust. Yeah, I think it's five or less.
Yeah.
Oh, bless.
And I think for some it's more. For some eights, they have learned to welcome more into that space, but for a lot, it's the list is small.
And from Suzanne Stabile's teaching, that's way more about nature than nurture. It's not that you have these necessarily have these massive childhood wounds that made you not trust people, though that may play into it.
It
is a lot. That's just how you're born.
This is how, And so for some, and I've talked to some type eights that definitely can hold trust for more, but for a lot, it's five or less. Yeah. And they can name them quickly.
Yeah.
And they know them. And they don't like talking about it because they know that if they do, it would hurt some people's feeling, because some people think that they are trusted by this type eight. And and it's not that it's like you're dishonest, or you're not, you know, a person that I love or care, support. It's just like I don't truly open up myself to just any and everybody. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I love to hear from God is, you can be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You can move into that space. You can trust. You can trust more. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You're okay. It's okay. You can move into those areas and have confidence in that. Yeah. You have confidence in every other area. You can do it in this area.
Yeah.
And so,
What do you need other people to say to you to feel loved? What do people say that makes you feel loved, or do?
I think that's a weird question, because I don't think you can say anything to me to make me feel loved. Like, I don't think there's something you can say. I think, you know, an eight sniffs out flattery. Like, I mean, it's our business, you know, like, I mean, if you tell me something that you're just telling me, like, it's going to just fall right off of me. I'm not going to, like, it's not going to even affect me, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it's more about being intentional and, like, being in relationship and being honest about who you are. I think, you know, the trust thing, like, I think that's the reason why. So the betrayal, like feeling betrayed, is so significant for an eight, mm-hmm. is because if you do get to the point where you really trust somebody, because it takes a long time to get there, feeling betrayed is like the worst feeling mm-hmm. for an eight. You know, like feeling like you really trusted somebody or thought they were a certain person or thought, you know, they were whatever it was. And feeling betrayed is like massively deep.
Because
and really hard.
We're rarely wrong. Mm-hmm. So when we get that wrong, we're like, what sure. in the world?
Oh, you let one of them in.
You let one in.
Oh my gosh, how sad.
Because, yeah, I thought I was right about you. I thought I was right yeah. about you. And then you broke the trust. And now there's, I can't let you back in. I can't gosh. Do it. I won't do it.
Yeah.
It's just, we'll have a new norm. And I mean, that's why, I mean, even to lean in the, you know, the teachings of Jesus, like the ministry of reconciliation is in somewhat a challenging ministry to be fully reconciled with someone. Like that's a different kind of work for a type eight, because it's mm-hmm. like to be reconciled with that person who hurt, who broke the trust, who has done something so whatever, right? That's hard.
It's really hard.
That's hard.
Forgiveness is a thing that I'm like really wrestling with even yeah. right now with the Lord. Like, what does that look like? How do you forgive somebody who doesn't ask for forgiveness? Like, because you know in your heart you're not reconciled. That's really hard for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you guys. I have known the betrayal thing because I have a male friend I'm very close to who is an eight who was betrayed, and I watched it up close. I didn't realize the ethos, for lack of a better word, behind sure. your brain of, but I thought I got this right.
Right.
So a betrayal is not only about them, it's about what your own understanding of you, too. Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
And eight is just so guarded. Like, there's so much around us that when we finally let, it takes so long, and it's such a special process to let that guard down. And we have to be sure in our mind that it's worth it. And then if it ends up not being worth it, it's really hard on us.
Yeah. So when a relationship ends, is that the same as if you walk away from a job that micromanages you? When a relationship ends, can you go, okay, bye, like mm-hmm. I'm walking away? Or is it feel more like the betrayal? It sounds like y'all have two responses to leaving. Mm-hmm. You have a, I'm walking, and you have a, are you walking? Are you betraying me? Like, it sounds like there's two responses in leaving that lives in an eight.
I think, but the saddest part about it, and this is sad, I'm telling you it's sad because I know it's sad, that the process of leaving a relationship can be really hard, but once all the sadness is over, it is easy for me to be like, all right, see ya.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and it's both. So you actually experience both.
Yeah. Because we are future-oriented.
Right.
And so
yeah, me too.
We keep going. Mm-hmm. We don't live necessarily in the past. Not that we don't remember the past, but we don't live there. Mm-hmm. We are moving forward. And so we'll experience it, and we'll experience it in a full way when it's happening. But then give it a couple weeks, maybe days, depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. And we got this other work to be done, and there's yeah. other things to do, and there's other opportunities, and there's other things that I can be investing my time in, and I'm not gonna like wallowing is not something that is done.
Yeah. And so for someone in relationship with an eight or in that has a relationship with an eight end, watching them be okay 1 or 2 weeks later doesn't mean they didn't feel sad. It's just how they process. It's
yeah.
just different. Versus a four who or even a seven who can stay in. I mean, we all of a sudden we're having fun and people are like, y'all just broke up, and you're like, yeah, I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
You don't know I'm dying inside.
Yeah.
But outside, I'm on a roller coaster.
Right.
So we're having
right.
we're fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Y'all, that is really interesting. I did not know that part of eights.
Yeah. And it's interesting, like, walking through betrayal with other numbers. Like, when, like, you know, as a seven, mm-hmm. walking through when someone betrays a seven and, like, seeing it happen. Like, with Dave, he experienced that once. And I, as an eight, was just like, get over it. Why are you so sad about this all the time? Like, just move on. Mm. You know, he don't want to be friends with you anymore. Like, whatever. And, you know, I learned a lot in like walking through that with him because it made me have compassion on, I think, you know, it's like, it's all about learning each other and like becoming more compassionate and gracious towards each other. But I think you learn a lot from seeing how other people deal with that because it makes you realize like, how I deal with it is not the best way probably.
Always,
it's just my initial, the way I'm like wired to feel, you know?
Yeah, that's why I think it's good for a type 8 to have a type 4 friend.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
Because it just makes you see it up close.
Yeah, we see, they're in their fields all the time.
Yeah.
Or a lot of the time, so I won't stereotype them like that. But it definitely is something like, oh, wow, you're okay. And I'm learning something.
Yeah.
And I think, too, like sometimes if you're a healthy type 8, moving in that space of 2, you can be a good pairing with a 4 that's going through it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the 4 needs some of that.
Get up and go. Hey, and
come on, you got this.
Yeah.
It's okay. Let's work through it. Let me help you push through this, this thing.
Because y'all are challengers, right? Isn't that the word that describes you?
Yeah, but I will say I can easily get burnout with walking through something with somebody that they're like saying, I'm doing this, I don't want to do it, and they keep doing it, and they keep doing it, and they keep doing it, and I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, or I'm so, you know, I can't figure my life out, or I can't, why do I blah, 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 and like can easily get burnout with being like, dude, change it.
Yeah.
If you're burnout, do something different, you know?
That's true.
I like that about you. It's one of my things I like about eights is if we were all at war, you guys help us keep going.
Yeah.
And you guys go, okay, everybody get up. Let's go. Where I would go like, I can't. You go, come on, let's go.
Like, but Jim died. It's like, Jim is dead.
Right. We got to go.
We got time for this.
We got stuff to do.
We got stuff to do.
I think it's a discipline for me to like, I think I've had to learn a discipline of like sometimes in friendships, if I'm realizing they're not going to make any changes to change the thing that's making them miserable, then sometimes I'm like, I can't walk in, like, I can't do this anymore because making me miserable, wanting to fix all the things that you're not fixing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because then you may, it will potentially dip us into an average space, which then that's when you get,
right.
That's when there's no,
Y'all turn into there's a 5. No, you withdraw.
There's no tape on the hands. And
that's right.
But we do. That 5 going into 5 in health is a good, and that's a good move too because it helps us to think about,
to be thoughtful.
To be thoughtful, right?
Yeah.
And I would say, I forgot to mention this, but one of the things that I really enjoy too, as to kind of go back, I don't want to forget it, is someone who, because we are the challenger, someone who's willing to stay in the conversation and go back and forth. Like someone who's willing to like, we're going to like talk it out. I'm going to get real passionate. You're going to get real. And it's fun. It's great. Like that's enjoyable where some people be like, why are you so mad? And what's going on? It's like, we're just having a lively, fun, challenging conversation. Don't walk away from it. Cause of course you walked away from it.
Yeah.
You couldn't handle it. Like, but it's enjoyable, and I've had those friends who are,
and maybe
like,
it's that they could not that they couldn't handle us, that they didn't understand.
They didn't understand what, it. Right? That's that, right.
What?
That's right.
What was strengthening the relationship was the conversation,
right?
Because so many numbers feel like the difference between an 8 and a 1 to me. Like I think about our friend David, who's married to the Enneagram 6 Kate that was on the show. David's an 8, and when I started in friendship with him, and we would get into something, I'd be like, I'm gonna walk away because I don't want us to hurt each other. And he was going, this is us getting closer as friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is hard for me, but we're gonna sit in this because this is what friendship looks like. And he would ease up because he knows I'm a 7, and I would stay in because I know he's an 8.
Yeah, and that gets you closer to that trust circle, because you're like, okay, like you are like sparring, if you will, or the, you know, just being in conversation, and
that's funny because he loves boxing too. I wonder if that's the 8. Next summer we'll do that.
You need to come do some boxing.
You need to get a boxing. What are they called? Bag, a punch bag in the house.
It's great.
That's what we'll do next summer for Enneagram Summer 2020 is exercise for every Enneagram number.
That's funny.
Is there anything about 8s we didn't say that y'all want to make sure we say? This is your chance to, you know, the goal of these shows is that people would love and honor and be gracious toward all the other numbers and to themselves if they are an 8. Is there anything we forgot to say about eights that y'all want to make sure we say?
I feel like there's so much about an eight. Like, we could go on and on and on.
I know.
I think the big thing is just try to understand. We want try to understand that we're not trying to control you. We're not trying to control a situation. Mm-hmm. We're just not trying to be controlled.
Yeah.
And so understand that when you have a type eight in your life, that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. Most likely.
Yeah.
I can't speak for every single person that
you're speaking for every single one of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but I would say I think there's a piece of a lot of eights that wants to be vulnerable, wants mm-hmm. to open themselves up, but there's so many walls and stuff that's keeping them from doing that. Mm-hmm. And so just hang in there and mm-hmm. it will come out and will maybe come out at a surprising moment. You may not be ready for, but it's going to come out and just be ready to receive that when that type eight in your life starts to share some inner thoughts and feelings and perspectives that they've been holding on to because they're afraid that people can't handle it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There was something else I was going to say. You may have
I think back to like what you were just saying about the sparring and the challenging. Like, you have to remember that an eight is a challenger. And a lot of times I will take the other side of something, not even because I believe in the other side, just for the sake of like representing the other side. And it's like energizing for me. And I don't feel like I'm usually abrasive in that way.
No.
But I don't tend to like agree. I mean, even in this podcast, like I haven't agreed with you the whole time. Like it's like an instinctual sort of, Dave will sometimes be like, do you really think that? Or are you just saying that because you're taking the other side? Like, you know, it's like energizing for me and enjoyable and like sort of fun to like be like, wait, what? What did you say? I don't know if I think that, you know?
We can't help it.
Yeah.
Like literally all the time.
Yeah.
Even though I am like, you're on this person's side. Why are you like that position? Like,
let's just talk about the other side.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing y'all do, both of you do really well, is balancing that innate thing in you and knowing the other person on the other side of what they can handle and what, you know, the safety of that friendship. And so I think that's the healthiest spot is being you and doing
that's
you. But not bulldozing.
One thing I was going to say, like, at the beginning of this podcast, which I didn't, but is that contrary to, like, what people may believe, like, I have a lot of friends that, like yes, that really, you do. That really, I believe that they really love me. And I think sometimes I'll read an eight or I'll read about an eight and I'm like, why would anybody want to be friends with me? Like, I ask friends sometimes, like, why do you want to be friends with me if I act this way, you know? Because I know that I'm like, I can be all of those things that are, you know, descriptive of an eight. But yet at the same time, like, I don't know. Yeah. I have a lot of friends.
Oh, we both have lots of friends.
Shockingly, we have friends.
But I would say that within, that's the beautiful thing about this, tool is, I think if any of the types were just that, like, just a six, or you're just a seven, or you're just a two, you may not have any friends. But I think the combination of that plus a wing is
that's what connects you to other people.
I could be friends with that. Yes. I could be friends with that particular type person. But I think that if it was just pure, raw eightness coming at you, like, sure, that would be hard. But like, in eight with a nine wing, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Eight with a seven wing, yes. Like, that's fun.
Yeah.
So I think that is true. I feel the same way that I do resonate with the, when I read about like the small trust circle. But as far as like friends, like, I have lots of friends and I get along with lots of people. But eights do have friends.
Y'all do have friends.
We have lots of friends.
I know many of your friends.
There's this one verse that I was going to read that I found last summer. And I don't know, for whatever reason, this verse has like really stuck out to me. And one of my friends gave me a bracelet with it on there.
Oh, wow.
Because I love it so much. But it's Isaiah 40:11. It says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." I feel like that for me was such a transformative verse for me, for my view of God, because I think the words he gently leads those who have young, like I pray that I pray for gentleness a lot because I want that. And I know that that is a fruit of the Spirit that the Spirit gives me. I just feel like it gets overshadowed by a lot of other things. But the thought of like God gently leading me, it feels like there's this nurturing side of the Lord that it's like, I don't know, for whatever reason, it feels like it makes me feel so safe and so cared for, because that's not something that we, that I as an eight tend to like value, you know? And so to think of God as like gently leading me and like nurturing me and carrying me close to his heart is a very like vulnerable like picture for me. And I really have appreciated that.
Yeah.
I love that.
A couple other, I guess, takes for being in a relationship with a type 8 is when it comes to even vulnerability, for me, I'll speak for me and perhaps a couple other 8s out there, is type 8s out there, is when it comes to sharing intimate, vulnerable things, a lot of definitely some, maybe a lot of 8s, will have certain things that they will share that will be very vulnerable, but they know what they know ahead of time. This is what I can share, and I'm comfortable sharing. That is kind of vulnerable, but not like deep down vulnerable. Because an eight as growing up, what you realize is like, oh, I have to like be a little bit. I have to share something.
Right.
So I need to figure out what the something is that I want to share, and I will share it.
Sure.
The eight wants vulnerability from other people. And so in order, it's like leading in the way that you want to receive.
Yeah.
Like
right.
If you're vulnerable, even though you're not really fully vulnerable, it's getting someone else to be vulnerable.
It.
And that is where, that's what we respect in people is honesty, vulnerability, like Dave always says when I come home and say, and like meet a new friend and say, she was so down to earth and like real. He's like, that's when I know you want to be friends with them. Because they're honest, they're real, they're direct. Like, you know, I don't like people that act different around different people.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's why eights and threes have a real tough time sometimes because the three is such a performer and the eight's like,
Who are you?
Who are you really?
I'm going to break you down and I'm going to figure it out because I don't.
Yeah, that's interesting. That makes sense. Eight and threes. Okay, so last question we're going to ask. It's always the last question on the show. What sounds fun to you? The show's called That Sounds Fun. Y'all tell me what sounds fun to you as an eight.
I mean, I think right now in my life, what sounds really fun is we have this little cabin in the woods, in the middle of the woods. And it's like my happy place. I love going out there. I love being in nature. And for me, what sounds so fun, like for the 4th of July, we always have a lot of friends come out and cook out and hang out and the kids run around. And that is like so fun.
Yeah.
I love having all my people and new people and old people. And
You're just so good about inviting new people to things.
Playing together. Yeah. And you know, having no agenda. I love that. Yeah. That sounds really fun.
It does sound fun. Well, I'm going to Lollapalooza.
Okay,
so
are
that
you?
Sounds
fun. Who made you want to go? Is there a particular artist?
Ariana.
Sure. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that.
Let me just.
She's
great. I'm going to be in it.
Yeah. Vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Yeah. That. There it is.
I love
her. But Tame Impala is going to be there. It's going to be great. So that sounds fun. Another thing that always sounds fun to me, and I do this every year, first week of December, is karaoke week. I love to sing karaoke.
Oh my gosh. The first week of December?
I go sing karaoke 7 nights
Patrick,
in a row.
I did not know this about
every
you.
Every first week
What's
of December.
What's your song?
The go-to first one is No Diggity, of course. So we got to do that one.
That is amazing.
And then it gets really random. Like, there's a, like, I like doing Matchbox 20. I don't know why. They're just easy
to sing.
He's just easy. Weezer, of course, is on the list.
Of course.
Of course. And Blessed Union of Soul. Remember that band?
Oh, man, yes.
Okay, the first week of December.
Yeah.
Where? Do you go to Santa's?
All over the city. There's so many places to go. Okay. So I just go to a different spot every night.
Okay, wow. We're going to check in with you in December because that is a new story.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you guys for being on the show. I appreciate your eightness and appreciate you making time for this. So I love y'all. Whew, friends, that was such a great conversation, though. I'm so grateful for Patrick and Annie and just telling us what it is like. I love that they didn't even get along all the time. So 80. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. So grateful for them. And eights, I'm just thankful for the way y'all lead and challenge and do make our world. It just feels like my eights in my life are the ones who remind me to keep going and to carry on and to lead well. So I'm thankful for eights. You guys, that means there's only one more NES Summer 2019 show left. It's the Nines coming on Thursday. But man, I have so loved this series. Thank you for all you've shared it with your friends. I mean, we just never dreamed that we would take up most of the top 10 shows on iTunes and be the number one podcast in our Christian space. I mean, it's just crazy. I'm so thankful for how y'all have shared the shows. I hope you've enjoyed this one as well. If you need anything else from me, I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs all over the place. F as in favorites, because today those Enneagram 8s are my favorites. I'm so grateful for them. Annie F. Downs, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you might want to find me. And if you want to talk about the podcast, NES Summer 2019 is the hashtag we're using. And then we always use the hashtag That Sounds Fun Podcast. So just join in the conversation and chat with us too. I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out and do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. We'll see you back here Thursday with our Enneagram Nines. You patient, patient people. Grateful for you Nines. We'll see you guys on Thursday.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.